that same kind of idea. The last praise and worship song that I was really having a chance to listen to today talked about surrendering. Surrendering everything we have, everything that we are. Surrendering it all to Him. And my message this morning fits right in with that idea. It's called a sold-out church. You know, next week, we're going to have Back to Church. We're going to have this event that we've been working on now for about a month. Okay, and next week, we're going to have people coming in here, and they're hopefully going to be looking to try to rediscover what church is. Okay, rediscover, hopefully, relationships. For some folks, I'm praying that we have some people who have the chance to discover the relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, but before they even sit down in any of these chairs, guess what? They're going to meet a very interesting group of people. Okay, and I say that. A very interesting group of people. You all, okay, us. They're going to meet Buckhead Ridge Christian Church. And I say interesting because, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can describe this group of believers. Okay, we have some who are a little bit old, some who are a little bit young. We've got some who are very young. Okay, we have some who are probably huggers. Okay, when you walk in, they're going to slap a hug on you. And we got some who are shakers. All right, we got some retired, some who are still working. All right, some who can sing and some who try. But you're gifted in other ways, okay? We have all sorts of people in this group. It's a very diverse body of Christ, and that's one of the great parts about being in this church. But, you know, there's one very important characteristic that every person who walks in here before they sit down, there's one very important thing they're going to be looking for, okay? Something that's going to, a quality, an attribute of a church that's going to be very important to them when they walk in those doors for the first time. And you know what that is? They want to know, are you for real? Or are you just pretending? Okay? Because the sad truth is, there are many pews and chairs and churches across America today that are full of a lot of people pretending. A lot of people that are here, and they've made church into basically a social club. You know, it's just a community mixer. It's where the in people go, so that's where I'm going to go. It's Sunday morning, that's where I'm supposed to be, right? That's just pretending. That's not real church. Okay? And I have no desire for people to come in here ever and see us pretending. You know, our youth today would describe those individuals as posers. You know, someone who's pretending to be something or someone that they are not. But for someone who's walking in those doors and who's looking for a genuine relationship, okay, for someone who is facing real problems in life, for someone who is facing real struggles, okay, for someone who's looking for real truth, a bunch of pretenders doesn't do them any good. No good at all. And you know what? They won't stick around. I wouldn't stick around. Okay? I don't want somebody pretending. I don't want a poser. I want someone who's for real. Someone who's genuine. Those people are looking for real answers in life. They're looking for a church that will address the real hard questions in life. Okay? Not just pretend and work around the circumstances. Guys, life is tough sometimes. Okay, I'm sitting in a room full of people that I know that you understand when I tell you that sometimes life is very, very hard. I mean, we have a sister this morning who's going through more than I can even imagine. But she's not even alone. There are heavy hearts throughout this room. Okay, and that's how people walk in here. And that's how we want them to come in here, exactly how they are. But when they come in, we can't show them a bunch of people pretending. Okay, if you're pretending, you're in the wrong place. Be genuine. When you're here. The kind of church that I'm talking about, the kind of church that genuinely cares for other people, the kind of church that reaches out to people in need right where they are. You know, we don't say, well, once you clean up, you feel free to come on in. We need to be a church that reaches out to somebody right where they are, wherever that is, and meets the need right then. That kind of church, believers and unbelievers alike, they cannot resist it. They will not be able to stay away from it. Okay, that's the kind of church that we should want to be. You know, and as I talk about that, you know, there's all sorts of churches, aren't there? I mean, there's just, what, in Okeechobee alone? I bet there's 130, 140 churches in Okeechobee alone, at least. And there's all sorts of churches. And, you know, we think about what kind of churches do people really want to be part of? I mean, is it a Baptist church? Is it a Methodist church? Catholic? Or is it any other denomination? Is it a contemporary church or an old-fashioned church? Is it a big church or a small church? You know, the kind of church that people are really looking for today, the kind of church that people who are really hurting Okay, the kind of people who, or the kind of church that people want to be part of is a sold out church. A church that is not pretending, it is 100% genuine, and they are 100% sold out for Jesus Christ. That's the kind of church that people are looking for. I hope that's the kind of church that you're looking for. Because if you're comfortable in anything else, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. I want to be walking through this life with a group of believers, with a group of individuals who are sold out. It is heaven or bust. You know, Jesus Christ or nothing. That's who I want to walk with. Anybody less than that, I'm going to find some new company. You know, that's who I want to go through this journey with. That's who I want to attend, quote unquote, church with. But what does that mean? What is a sold out church? What kind of church is that? Well, I'm going to tell you about it, but first we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you this morning. God, even in the midst of our sorrows and our pains, you've shown yourself to be absolutely amazing. And Lord, you come down from heaven. And Lord, you occupy this place with us in our very hearts. And as we struggle and as we hurt and as tears roll down our faces, God, you don't miss a single one. God, thank you. You are such a wonderful Father. Lord, I pray that now this morning that your message, that your word open itself up to us. Lord, I pray that each heart here choose to hear and choose to listen. Because God, I know that right now you're speaking. Lord, we pray that your spirit move mightily in this place. Lord, we have no expectation except that you be glorified and that at the end of this all, we be more like you. Lord, if you can do that for us, then you've done more than enough. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In your name, amen. Now, I talk about sold-out church. I want to tell you a quick story to try to help explain this idea of a sold-out church. Anybody in here like history? I got a few people. Okay, good. I want to tell you a quick story from history about to help explain this idea of a sold-out church. In 1518, shortly after the discovery of Mexico, Hernando Cortes, the Spanish conquistador, landed in the Mexican town of Tabasco with 10 ships, 500 men, 13 horses, and about 10 cannons. His goal with that small force was to conquer the mighty Aztec Empire, which at that time occupied about 5 million people. And he's planning on conquering them with 500 men and 13 horses. All right? Now, you can imagine that from the beginning, Cortez's men, even when they landed, they were kind of fearful about venturing inland. Instead, they wanted to stay close to the shores. They wanted to stay close to those ships in case things got bad. They wanted to have a place they could retreat to in case things got bad. And because they never wanted to go inland, they weren't doing anything. They weren't any closer to conquering the Aztecs than when they first got there. So Cortez commanded that all the supplies, all the weapons, everything be brought in from the ships. And then guess what he did? He burned the ships. He burned them right there in front of his men. Their only chance to escape was now gone. They had no other option, and they had no reason to look back. So the men proceeded inland, and against all odds, 500 men, 13 horses, and 10 cannons defeated an empire of 5 million people. Against all odds. Now, by burning those ships, Cortez, he basically made his men give up any purpose they had in life. You know, he made them give up their dreams and their plans and become sold out to his dreams and his plans. They had no other plans now. They were there. It was his way or no way. In his life, Cortez, now don't get me wrong, if you know anything about history, he was an evil guy, okay? Did a lot of really bad things. But one thing this morning that we can take from his life, one example that we can take, okay, is that as a church, we should have that same mindset, the idea of completely selling out for a cause. You know, and our cause is not like Cortez's. We're not here to conquer an empire, okay? What we should be completely sold out to is the purposes and the will of our Father God. Completely sold out. Guys, we got to burn our ships. Okay? Some of you guys, and myself included, sometimes you get up in the morning and you know what? We don't venture very far in life. We stay pretty close to that retreat just in case things get tough. But that's not how we're called to live. We're called to burn the ships. Burn the ships. It's God or nothing. To be 100% sold out to His purpose and to His will. Now that might sound easy to some. You might say, Tim, I was saved 15 years ago and I've been in church, you know, I think just about every Sunday since. I'm sold out for Jesus, right? Well, let me ask you something. Are you really sold out? Or are you a lot like Cortez's army? Are you staying close to your ships? Because those ships, they represented something. Those ships weren't just a way home. Okay, they represented those men's hopes. They represented their dreams. Those ships represented the way they would return to their families. The way that they would meet their friends again. All those things were tied up in those ships. If you are sold out to Christ, that means that, friends, guess what? When He burns those ships, you are no longer the master of your own destiny. There's no way back. Okay? It's all or nothing. To be sold out means that you've given up your hopes and your dreams. And where those used to be, you've chosen instead to take His hopes and His dreams. You've chosen to allow His dream of a world that comes to Christ to envelop whatever little dreams that you had. You know, to further help explain this idea of a sold out church, I want to go to a passage and to a familiar person that probably almost everybody here has heard of. Okay, it's in Genesis chapter 12. And we're just going to read verse 1. I'm going to introduce you this morning to Abram, who later on would become Abraham. I'll give you a moment to find it. You're welcome to follow on the screen if you like. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" Pretty simple, huh? I mean, is that all it takes to be sold out to God? You just got to be willing to go on a road trip, you know? I mean, that's easy enough. Anybody could do that, right? Well, let me ask you something. Or actually, let's take a quick minute and look at exactly what God told Abraham. He said, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country.'" Okay, wait a minute. Leave your country. Leave everything you are familiar with, your culture, your people, everything that you know, that you've grown up with, leave it. Walk away from it. Then he said, "Leave your people, those who you grew up with, the friends you have, the ones that you were closest with, walk away from it." He said, "Leave your father's household, your very blood, those individuals in life that most of us, that's who we love the most. It's who we identify with. It's who we are. Leave them. And go to a land I will show you." You got to love God. God says, not only do I want you to leave all these things, not only do I want you to go, but guess what? I'll call you sometime later, and I'll tell you where you're going. Okay? But that takes a tremendous amount of faith. Being sold out is not that easy. It's not easy at all. Remember now that Abraham, he was a real man. He was an actual man. I mean, he had his own hopes and his own dreams and his own plans. You know, Abram had a purpose he thought for his own life. He knew he had responsibilities. He had family members that cared for him, that desired him, okay, that needed him to be around. He had all those things. He had his own purpose, but guess what? He chose first to be a man who was committed to God's purpose. That's what he chose first, to be sold out to God's will, sold out to God's purposes. Now, my point this morning from this passage is this. That a sold out church, us this morning, if we choose to be a sold out church, we have to agree that we will set aside our comforts, that we will set aside our familiarities, our own ideas, and instead, our heart has to be, "Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am, and I'm yours. I'm 100% yours. All my hopes and all my dreams, they're yours. Okay, all my plans, I put them to the side. I want to follow you. I want your hopes, your dreams, your plans." That's somewhat easy for me to sit up here and say. That's very, very hard to do. Very hard. I can tell you I'm 32 years old. My wife isn't here. I'm struggling. I'm 32 years old. If you asked me 10 years ago, where would I be today? Boy, I had a whole different set of plans. Whole different set of plans. Asking how much money I'd make? A lot more than I am. You know, where I would be, not here. But that wasn't God's plan. You know, it wasn't God's plan. And today, I can tell you that God has called me, and I believe he's calling you to lay your plans down. Lay your ideas and your hopes and your dreams down. Okay, and instead, pick up his. Pick up his, because his hopes and his dreams and his plans, they have eternal reward. You know, everything that I was striving for in life was temporary. Everything that the world says that you need and that we desire as people, guess what? One day, it's all gone. It's all gone. The only thing that's eternal and that lasts, the only thing that has significance is God and his purpose and his plans. Now, in this culture today, well, we love our freedom and we love our independence, don't we? We cherish those things almost above anything else. But we forget that even if today you choose not to be sold out to God, you're still not your own. You're still not the master of your own destiny. See, because even if you choose not to make God the master, okay, and you think you're holding on to control, every single person in this room today, everyone was born into a sinful condition. You were born under a cruel curse. You were born into slavery and bondage. Your master this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, believe it, guys, your master is death. That's who has control of you. You're not your own person, as much as you may like to believe. We were born under the curse of sins and into that cruel master's hand. And we were born really and truly with no hope. With no hope, and we couldn't find anyone who could help. We were out there all alone. Completely out there, all by ourselves. Now, I say we couldn't find anybody, but you look at the world today, and it's not for lack of looking, is it? I tell you what, you open up the newspapers or anything else, and there's false gods and religious leaders, and they got all kind of great claims, don't they? I mean, today, you know, you've got Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, Baal, Asherah, Vishnu, Shiva. I mean, they all seem to be making great claims, but guess what? At the end of the day, not a single one of them can free you. Not a single one. They can't bring you any hope. Millions of people follow these false gods and religious leaders, and millions of people are on a straight path for hell. And that sounds harsh, but you know what? That's black and white, and that's how my God is. He doesn't have any gray. Guys, these false gods, these religious leaders, they have no power and no help for you. They offer nothing but a false hope, a counterfeited faith, and just an imitation kind of love. But there is one name under heaven. There's one man who does offer genuine hope, who does offer true faith, who offers conditional or unconditional and lasting love. Just one name, Jesus Christ. Speaking by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter said this about him in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know, that one name, Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God. The only one. Okay? He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the author, the perfecter of our faiths. The only name under heaven where you can find real hope, real joy, real peace. For every believer here today and for all who would call upon his name, understand this, that the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed on a cross at Calvary. It was shed there to redeem you. You may say, I don't know exactly what that means. It was shed there to redeem you, which means to buy you back. As I told you, you were born into the hands of death. Your master, when you came into this world, was sin. And there was a high price for you. A high price. But he paid it. He paid it on Calvary, and he paid it in his own blood. And because of his great sacrifice, well, we're called to be greatly committed. And friend, today, you can leave here not underneath the control of death and sin, and not underneath your own control, but you can leave here with a new master today. You can leave here today with Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the one who offers you true hope, eternal salvation. Getting back here, a sold-out church believes what I've been talking about here today. It believes that we have been redeemed at a great price, and that because of that, now we must be completely committed to a great purpose. Completely committed. Whether we are ever a church of 20, 200, or 2,000, we can never lose sight of that. We can never lose sight of the fact that we must remain absolutely steadfast, determined to be about His purpose and about His will, no matter what the size of the church. Okay? For your homes, you have to choose to be committed in your homes. Whether or not you are a single person or you've got a large family, okay, you have to be committed to His purpose and His will in your homes. We are His people, folks. We are His children. And as such, we should be about His business. So, let's move forward just a little bit here with this life of Abram. We're going to go forward a few years and a few chapters to Genesis chapter 22. And I want to show you one other attribute this morning. Just one other one. One other attribute of a sold-out church. All right? When you get to Genesis chapter 22, you're going to meet a man, Abraham, now, who's over 100 years old. Over 100 years old. And God has just blessed him with a baby, with a son, Isaac. Okay, now, keep in mind that to Abraham, having a son, that was the truest desire of his heart. He longed for that his entire life, but his wife, Sarah, was unable to bear children. So he feared that he would die childless, with no son, with no heir. But God had other things in mind. Now, because of that, when God gifted Abraham with Isaac, guess what? Abraham loved Isaac. He loved Isaac deeply. He loved Isaac immensely. Now, before I go to the story, let me ask you this. What do you love deeply? What do you love immensely? Who do you love deeply? You know, perhaps the person sitting right next to you right now is the most important person in the world to you. Perhaps that who is envelops your heart and they have all of your love. Perhaps it's a child that this morning is hundreds of miles away, but you love them so very deeply. Perhaps it's a, you know, let's be honest, perhaps it's a pet, you know, or a possession of some sort. Our hearts all work differently, okay? Whatever that is, I want you to hold that in your mind right now. Whatever it is that you love deeply, hold that in your mind. All right, Genesis chapter 22 starts this way. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Quick application, that person you had in mind, that thing you had in mind, what if today God made that statement to you? Take that, whatever it is, whoever it is, sacrifice it upon the mountain I will show you. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Just isn't going to happen, is it? The story continues. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on the son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up there, and in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Wow, it's a lot of reading. What's the point? What's the point of the story, Tim? Well, in terms of a sold-out church, the point's found in one verse, verse 12. Okay, if you want to find it real fast, I'm going to read it to you again. Verse 12, chapter 22 of the book of Genesis says this: "Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your," you fill in the blank, whatever that is, for you personally. I'm not asking what it was for Abraham. I know what it was for Abraham. It was his son. I'm asking for you now. "I know that you fear me because you have not withheld your," whatever it is. Are there things in your life this morning that you are holding back from God? Are there people, things, places, things, ideas, memories, sin that you are holding back from God? I think the obvious answer in this room is yeah. I can tell you my heart, absolutely, yes. There are things I hold back from God. Okay, but the more important question is this, when we get down to it, why? Why? Why do we hold back the things that we value and treasure most from the one that we know they were the most safe with? Why? Why would we do that? Why do we feel like we have to hold something back? You know, before I go much further, let me just share with you that second attribute of a sold-out church. And that's this, very simple. A sold-out church holds nothing back from God. Nothing. Not your most precious possession. You don't hold anything back from God. To be a sold-out church, though, guess what? You got to be sold-out individuals first, don't we? They could talk about grand scheme of things in this group of, you know, 75, 80 people. Oh, we're sold out. I'm not talking about 75 or 80 people. I'm talking about you and you. Are you individually sold out? Are you holding back from God? So back to the original question then. Why don't we, or why can't we give God those things that we value most? Why do we choose to hold back? I think it comes down very simply to a choice between two words. Okay, just two words. Trust or fear. Do you trust this morning that God is who he says he is? Or do you fear that he might fall short? Do you trust this morning that God can do everything that he says he can do? Or do you fear this morning that he might fail? Do you trust this morning that God's word is true and unshakable? Or do you fear that in this world today, somehow things have changed? Our example this morning of Abraham is an example of someone who trusted. He didn't choose to fear, he chose trust. Recall with me very quickly verse 4 from that passage. This verse says so much to me about this idea of trust. It said, "On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there.'" Okay, now this is huge. Okay? "Stay there with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there." Then he says, "We will worship and then we will come back." God had told him, "You're going to the mountain to sacrifice your son." But Abraham said, "No, God, you promised me something. You promised me this son. And not only this son, but you promised that he would be he would have descendants more numerable than the sands of the seashore, or than the stars of the sky. That was your promise. And I know you keep your promises. So yes, we're going to go worship. And you know what, Lord, if you tell me to offer him and I'll sacrifice him, I'll do that too. But I know that you're true. So we will return. We will come back." Abraham believed that even if God had to raise Isaac from the dead, that he could do it. And that he would do it because that was his word. Abraham chose to trust. Before we can be a sold out church, okay, we must choose individually to trust. You must trust God with that which is most precious to you. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that you hold on to, that you hold back, you have to trust God with that thing, with that person. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not telling you today to put your trust in me. Okay? I can assure you, I will let you down. All right? I'm not telling you today to put your trust in the leaders of this church, because they are just men and women like you. And one day, they will let you down. Your spouse, your brother, your sister, your children, your friends, your boss, even your own two hands, at some point in your life, will let you down. So I'm not telling you to trust them. If I did, I would be giving you bad advice. Okay, but what I will encourage you to do this morning is this. I will encourage you this morning to trust in someone who has never known defeat. Never. He has never been defeated. Trust in that person. I will encourage you this morning to trust in someone whose plans have never been foiled. Never. If God said it would happen, guess what? It happened. I want you to trust this morning in someone who has never been surprised by an outcome or confused by a result. He knows the beginning to the end. He's never been surprised. Those bad decisions you make and I make, they didn't surprise God. He's never been surprised. He's never been confused. I want to encourage you this morning to trust in someone who, plain and simple, he doesn't know how to fail. Trust in that person. Trust in the Son of God. Trust in the great I Am. Trust in Jesus Christ, that person. That's what it takes to be a sold out church. That's when people come in these doors, when you all came in these doors. I hope that's what you saw. If you saw anything else, if you saw anything less, I would encourage you to turn around and go back out. You know, because you need to be in a group of believers who are sold out. You need to be a believer who is sold out. Nothing short. If this morning you want to join me in becoming a church that is completely sold out, a church that has replaced our own purposes and our own dreams with his purposes and with his dreams, then it's all about one choice. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust him with everything you hold dear. That's the choice you have to make today. Will you stand with me? You know, sometimes we all have things to do, I know. We all have busy lives, busy schedules, and sometimes we manage to fit in church some way or another. And that's fine, okay, but let me tell you something. You might be able to fit in church, you might be able to fit into fellowship, but don't try to fit in the Word of God, okay? It needs to consume you. You need to make your life fit God's Word and not God's Word fit your life. So this morning, it's as simple as a choice. It's a difficult choice, but it's a simple choice. Okay, and the choice is, to be sold out, you have to choose to trust. You have to choose to believe that God is exactly who he says he is, and that he can do everything he has promised to do. That's the God I serve. He's never let me down. He's walked with me through valleys that, as I look back, I have no idea how we came through the other side. But that's my God. Never left me, never forsook me. I'd invite you to know him today as well. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. God, I want to thank you for the cross right now. I want to thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary. Lord, I want to thank you for the choice that you made before I did, when you chose me, when you chose this group of believers. Lord, when you laid down your life in our place, when you paid our price, when you redeemed us to yourself. And Lord, and today you go so much further. God, you've given us hope, but you've given us grace and peace and joy. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Lord, this morning I pray that you make our hearts able to choose to trust who you are to trust in your mighty name. Lord, you have never failed. You have never known an enemy you could not defeat. Lord, your plans have never been foiled. God, you deserve our trust. Help us to give it to you today. Whatever it is this morning, Lord, that we hold on to, whatever it is that stands between us and you, Lord, this morning, help us to lay it at your feet. God, we desire as a church, as individuals, to be sold out for you, to live a life not of halfway, not of second chances, Lord, but to live a life completely sold out to you. Lord, unable to consider any other option or any other way, wrapped up in your purposes and your will. God, that's my heart's desire this morning. God, I want to just be recklessly abandoned with you. God, but I need your strength to do that. I need your Holy Spirit to help me. This morning, church, if you choose